pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for being in your church this morning to fellowship with the saints of like precious faith. Lord, we thank you for the safe return of our missionaries working in bad weather all over their country, and they made it back safe. We thank you for that. We do pray for those that are sick in the hospital, those that are hurting. Lord, we thank you for the great Savior we have and the picture that was portrayed for us this morning of the awful things he went through to get our salvation for us. And Lord, we thank you for loving us in spite of our sins and shortcomings, and you gave that precious blood that they might be washed and we might be clean and made fit for heaven, a soul for God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I meant to mention during announcements and I did not, sorry. But the Easter lineup services are at 8 o'clock will be the first service, the sunrise service, 8 o'clock. Breakfast will then be at 9, and then the next service will be 10. That will be no evening service. That will be it. Brother Tim will be preaching at the 8 o'clock service, and I'll be preaching at the 10 o'clock. He asked me to do that. Okay? What a wonderful, I don't guess the word wonderful is correct, but a great illustration of the crucifixion this morning to frame things that I'll be preaching about the next two Sundays today as we get into Palm Sunday. But did a good job. If you missed Sunday school, you missed it. How about a round of applause for When is the ordination? Okay. All right. Wood read to you that scripture there. We'll get right into it. But this crowd that was cheering Jesus on as the great deliverer from all that, they really thought that he was going to make it without any bloodshed, and here he comes. And little did they realize or understand that same crowd would a week later be crying, "Crucify him, crucify him." And you know, people haven't changed much today. Someone told me, one of the pastors, he said, "John, you're only as good as your last sermon." And I guess I compared it best to baseball players. Man, if a baseball player could hit 500, he'd be top of the league, wouldn't he? But maybe we don't do any better than that. So Palm Sunday, the reason we celebrate today of the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem 1 week before his resurrection, which we'll talk about next Sunday. It's recorded in all four of the Gospels, and he was making his way in, and as he was making way in, notice back there in the scripture, and he says that when he came in, they were telling him, "You're making too much noise. Tell them to calm down," because they were afraid of their position. They were afraid the Romans was going to come and arrest them all because talking about the king. And they were singing, well, the Romans didn't want but one king. And if they kept shouting and hollering, maybe they'll arrest us and put us. So calm down. Jesus said, if these would be silent, the rocks would cry out. Now, he's the creator of all things, including the rocks. And he could make them cry out. But he was headed for some terrible things. We notice that the first time, and if you don't remember anything else today that I say, I'm dividing this coming, the day for celebration and throwing out the palm leaves and their coats and laying them out for the animals to walk on while he rode into town, and separate that to the next time that Jesus comes. Notice he, first of all, when he came this time, he was riding on a donkey, riding on an animal that was seen as a slave, as a servant. It showed the humility in him. Over in the New Testament scriptures, and I've been learning a lot more about the dual manship of Christ. He's a man of God, with God fully in him, but he was also a man, and as you were portraying, he took that cross like a physical man. He didn't give any of his powers as a God-man to stop the hurt or the pain, none of it. And he could have done that. He was God himself, but he refused to do that. He took all that physical. So he's riding into town showing his humility. Scriptures tell us from his time he was in his parents' home, which were not his parents in the same sense you and I were, but he obeyed, and the Bible says he learned obedience. He learned just like a kid would from the time from his mother's womb. He had that God power that he could have inserted that and bypassed all that, but he wanted you to know that he's taken the same hurts, and the Bible tells us another place that he saw us just as we are. And he was tempted, there in Matthew chapter 4, he was tempted in all forms like we are. Three ways it shows us, and John writes about it in 1 John. The sin of the eyes, lust of the eyes, and the flesh. And Jesus took that, and that pride, that we sin from. We sin without even thinking a step. It's on us before we realize it. But he showed he was coming as a servant when he was riding that. He wasn't riding with weapons and the people around him, which we'll see in a moment. He was coming in peace. And most of the world talks about peace, but they don't want to talk about the wrath of God, which we'll talk about in a moment. He showed his humility, and he showed, I'm coming in peace. And he says in John, he didn't come to condemn the world. He will. We'll talk about that later. He come this first time to be a Savior. My sins and your sins, we're not condemned for if we ask him to forgive us. And he doesn't come reaching out his love, reaching out to us and saying, I want you to have the peace of God and peace with God. I want you to have that. And he came to save. That was his sole purpose. That manger scene was a scene of a baby that was going to grow up and be a Savior. He didn't come just so we could have Christmas, but we celebrate his birthday like we'd celebrate yours or mine. But we're celebrating this would be the Savior who came. In Luke chapter 19:40, he said, which I mentioned it to you already, he answered and said unto them, tell you that if these should hold their peace, these people, the stones would cry out, immediately cry out. That's the Savior that made us. Everything that's in this building, everything that's on this earth, the earth itself was put together by the great engineer of all times, Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't get borrowed help from no one. He didn't get intelligent and comments from people and other. He didn't go into a laboratory and work on his graphs and write out. No, he himself from his own mind, from his own being. He made that. And think about this one. He made you and me. He made the first man. And everyone after that would be designed for that. We've been thinking about, did you see how this world is, in our own society, is doing everything they can to do away with the image? Remember, man was created in the image of God. They're doing everything they can to destroy the image of man. We don't want that macho man. Well, what God made in the image of God. God is pretty macho. Woman, from this time forward, you're going to be subservient to the man for what you did. He didn't ask her, do you think we could talk this over? Do you think that was right, what you did? We're going to distort that. We don't like that. We don't like it. God made it. God made it. We can tone it down. We can change it. But what God made, God made. And you can't change it. We do transvestites and all that to change that. And there in Matthew 21:7, they brought the ass and the colt, that was the donkey, and put on them their clothes, and they set him there on. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them along the way. And the multitudes, remember what I said, the same multitude are crying out to Pilate, crucify him, crucify him. And Pilate washes his hand. He said, let his blood be on our hands. And Mike was picturing how terrible, and he didn't get into, and he wouldn't do that, totally naked on that cross. Shame was there on top of everything else. And the people who met him on the road to Damascus later, I'm not a theologian. I can't be as smart as some of those guys are. But they say the reason that maybe they didn't recognize him was he was beaten so bad he was still in that body. Remember, he told Mary, don't touch me. I haven't gone back to take this blood to put it on that altar for you and you and you. So don't touch me yet. Don't touch me yet. So maybe that was true. And the multitudes went before that followed, cried, saying, Hosanna, the Son of David. They knew their theology. They knew that he was going to be the one to sit on the throne forever and ever and ever and rule with a rod of iron. There'll be no Nancy Pelosi's there saying, whoa, well, my side of the aisle is voting against it. There'll be none of that. Jesus will be the ruler, and we'll see that. So you see this first coming in, riding the donkey to serve, to save. The next time he's coming to judge, he will judge. We'll see that in a moment. John 12:12 says, on the next day much people were come to the feast, and they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. They took the branches. He's coming. Secondly, we'll look at some of the scripture. I'll not look at all of it. We got it written down for you. He's coming as a judge. Yes, God will judge, and Jesus will do the judging. He said, for what you went through for me and for them, you'll be the judge. Oh, Jesus, the God of love. Yes, he is. Now, but there's coming a day, and it says the eyes of those that pierced him will see him, and they'll be brought to judgment, and they'll be punished. And not just for the length and duration of a cross and then die, but forever and ever and ever and ever and ever to burn in a fire of hell. That's what the payment is coming. He come this time, when he comes in Revelation, no donkey this time. He'll be riding a white horse. Describes all the things. It signifies the victory over his enemies. He's bringing judgment to the evil world. He says in John 8:16, and yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father have sent me. God said, I'm giving him the hand of judgment. John 5:26, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given the Son to save the life of himself. And he hath given the authority, get this, to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Now we'll go to Revelation chapter 19 and look at some of this. See him coming. John sees this in the future. John saw the beginning to the end when God took him up to heaven. They had taken John. They boiled him in a pot of oil. That didn't kill him. They took him and put him on the Isle of Patmos, which is about the size of maybe smaller than Fulton County. Nothing but a rock. Let him starve to death. God took him up to heaven. God fed him, took care of him. They went back to see what happened. He was still alive. They say he died around the age of 90 years old. What a picture of what God can do. Said John, speaking here in Revelation 19, and after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven. Well, that would be. I thought about all that wind blowing last night, all the damage, people been killed. Boy, heaven's going to be a wonderful place. People who know the Lord, families, half of my family, you probably heard me say that before, half of them's gone. They're in heaven. They're waiting my coming. One day we'll be together again. I heard a great voice, much people in heaven, saying, Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his, say it with me, church, judgments. Let's say it again. Judgments. Yes, God's going to judge this world and the people who have not given their life to him. Yes, he is. Well, I don't know, understand all that either, but God said it, and I believe it, and that's good enough for me. Some theologian stroking his beard, smoking his pipe, sitting in an office, want to tell, well, they can't go on forever and ever. It's not going to last. Oh, yes. God said it would. And the 24 elders, they say that's the Israelite elders and the apostles, 12 each. He said the voice of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I hear the voice, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters. That wind was making noise last night. Whoa! I looked at one of the trees in my yard, one of those weeping willow trees, and the top was touching the ground. I thought, wow. It didn't break, though. Let us be glad and rejoice. Listen to some more of the description of that coming when he comes to judge. We're called to a supper. You know, I may not ever eat through my esophagus in this life. Again, I don't know. I'm praying, still hoping, still waiting. Please pray with me. But And if I do not, I'll see you at the table with the Lamb, Jesus Christ. He says that we have, he's getting ready for that in verse 9. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Oh, that will be glory. That will be glory. That will be glory to me. I got one brother who had to have part of his leg taken off, but it didn't do him any good. He died about 24 hours later. He got a bad infection in it. He'll be restored. Be restored. The weaknesses of our body will be made whole. And I saw heaven open, verse 11, and behold, a white horse. No donkey this time. No mule this time. Hey, and when you get to thinking, well, I do this and I do that. Listen, if God can use the rocks, and God can use a donkey, what are you going to be proud of? God can get a donkey to do what we do. You know, Tim was teaching to our men's Bible class about that donkey. The donkey could see things that man couldn't see. Tell him, why are you beating me? Don't you see those angels standing there saying, don't go, don't go? My, oh my. Heaven opened a white horse. He that sat upon him called faithful and true. In righteousness he doth judge and make war. Underline that in your Bible. And next time somebody tells you something like this, oh, God's not going to send anybody to hell. He's too good. Say that. To judge and make war. You know there is no peace without war. He fought that first war on Calvary's cross for you to get your peace. If you refuse that, then you will be at war with God. And if you're not a Christian, you're at war with God right now. Oh, no, no, no. Yes, you are. You're on the devil's side, part of the enemy. Verse 13, and he was clothed with a vesture, dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. That's our Savior. And the armies which are in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Now, there's a lot of discussion about that verse. I believe those of us who have died and going to be there with him will come as part of that army. Think about fighting in a war which you can't get hurt in. You never die. You can't get killed. Wow. Wow. I'm ready for it, aren't you? I'm ready for it. And out of his mouth, verse 15, goeth a sharp sword. Now this is the same Jesus that was riding the donkey. He took their beatings. He took their praise. And then when it turned on him, he took their ridicule, pulled his beard out, slapped him, beat him, trampled on him. But now he's riding on that white horse. And it says, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword which should smite the nations, and he shall rule with a rod of iron. No, please. Well, can we sit down and talk about this? Could we have a vote on it? Mm-mm. Not going to work this time. Not going to work that time. Hold on a second. I got too much good stuff left. I won't be much longer. Turn the mic down. Of all the things I've done, give me the mic, okay? Of all the things I've done this life, preaching is the one I like the most. I've jumped out of airplanes. I flew airplanes. I rappelled out of airplanes on a rope. You know, I broke my back jumping. But nothing ever thrills me more than to take the pulpit and preach. What a gift God gave me. And I was undeserving, still undeserving of that. But he'll rule with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. Think of the Lamb when he gets to Revelations, becomes all that to be the winner of the prize. And he hath on his vesture, verse 16, a name written King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You don't tell the Lord anything. When I get to heaven, I'm going to tell God, no, 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 no. You're being funny. When we see God, the first thing we're going to do is fall on our knees and cry, holy, 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 holy. And I saw an angel, verse 17, standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together on the supper of the great God. Now bear with me a minute. I'm going to say what I'm going to say now from what I've heard some other people say. They say that the dead, the blood on the horses will be battle deep at that battle of Armageddon. They say that the bodies will be lying. I don't know if you've ever seen a battlefield or not, but nothing will be compared to this battlefield. Of all the people, the blood that will be shed there, and the buzzards, which they don't call them buzzards, whatever they call them, will come and begin to pick the flesh. Think about that. Think about that. That's the raft of God. That's the raft of God. Oh, honey, let's get this one well. Bring the nurse. No. The raft of God. And God says, come and eat. Now, the reason I bring that up is there's a guy who studied. He says, over there, that bird is multiplying like they've never seen it multiply. You be the judge. I don't know. One more time, I want to assure you, it's going to be Jesus doing the judging. God said, my son, what you went through, you'll be the judge. Romans 2:16. Last verse on there, Jason. In the day when God, another thing you'll notice that both God is Christ and Christ is God. God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. That's it, folks. That's it. The wrath of the mighty God. You got people, friends, that are not saved. You got loved ones. Don't you want to rush them in? Oh, don't tell people that, you're scared. We need to be scared. We put up fences around our house so our kids can play and not run out in traffic. We try to do everything, but we're so afraid of spiritual things. We let our kids go to schools that teach nothing but garbage. Oh, I don't know if I want to go to that church or not, because they I don't know what that church teaches. We're a bunch of stupid people. Stupid people. We better get them in quick. I have some nieces and nephews that have never been inside of a church or a worship place. Think of it. Think of it. We'll be responsible to God. The tears that God wipes away from our eyes when we get there is ones that we shed when we see for the last time loved ones and friends that we didn't witness to and going into the terrible judgment of God. Let's stand. Almighty God in heaven, you are the judge. Help me to stand pure out of the wrath of God as I preach your truth. Lord, I'm not the most eloquent, the most intelligent, but I know one thing. You love me and you saved me. And I'm glad because I know the second thing is there will be people who have never done that and will be cast into eternal fire and hell and judged by God Almighty. While the piano plays, would you come to the altar and pray for souls you know, relatives you know, loved ones you know? Would you take a moment and do that this morning? Come on, don't be embarrassed. Be glad you've got time to pray. The world won't be calling you to pray today. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Come and pray. Pray. Dear Lord, we pray for these who have come with honest, broken hearts. We pray, Lord, you would help them to be a witness to them, as in some other cases they have many times. But don't give up. Keep praying. Keep praying. God left you here for something. Pray for them. Pray for them. Oh God, thank you. Thank you for your love and mercy while we have time, so they won't have to meet a judgment God, a God who will judge and rule with a rod of iron. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. God bless you. We'll sing a song. The altar is still open to you if you need to come. God bless you.
I must needs go. There's no other way.
seated for a minute. I got to do something else. It won't take but a few minutes. Mike, I meant to share. Where'd Mike go? There he is. You want to share your trip? Take a few minutes and tell the people what happened. Glad you made it back safe. Were you driving in some of that storm? Oh, yeah. Yeah, my son drove back yesterday all the way back in the storm. He made it safe.
Same place we went in October, where they had the flooding. holding on to their faith. And we felt like that if they're holding on, then we're going to hold on with them.
Saying multiple months later, he saw the need for help was still real. So he planned another trip and is back with more than 4 dozen highly skilled servants from different states who all share the same goal.
You can't tell who's from Tennessee, who's from Mississippi, or who's from Pennsylvania. The only bloodline we're following is the bloodline that flows from the cross of Jesus Christ.
Volunteer Chris Sheffield runs a gutter company in the tri-state area of Pennsylvania, saying he feels it's important to give his employees the opportunity to serve the Lord on mission. And now they're back in Kentucky once more.
I can't really just say enough about good things about the people here. You know, the Lord just laid upon us to help others and to bring other people with us.
And Michael Binder, who is also from Pennsylvania, is a construction coordinator with a team ready to serve, saying the work they have already been able to do at Mount Carmel School Home is wonderful.
We're redoing siding on the outside, closing in a bunch of windows, insulating, trying to get the drywall finished inside. As you can see, we've built a big deck on the back.
But above all else, they say their purpose is built on serving the Lord.
The Bible says there's more joy in giving than in receiving.
And their prayer for the people of Eastern Kentucky is found in Psalm 40.
I waited patiently upon the Lord, and he inclined to me and he heard my cry. He lifted me from the mire.
The crew has been working in the Breathitt County area all week. To learn more about how you can help fund their efforts, look for the story on WYMT.com.
So thanks for sending us. Thanks for supporting us. It's been really amazing to me what's happening in our church when we take what we know and learn and embrace from here and take it outside of us. The response that we had in helping Sarah's bullying was amazing. I could feel it when we were there helping. There were people that are searching, I think, for opportunities to help. And helping Sarah was fabulous, a member of our own community, and helping these people in Kentucky. You can see I'm getting a little choked up. It's powerful, powerful stuff. And every night we have devotions. We debrief what happened during the day, what we learned, what we gained. We share together, we love together, we cry together. So please continue to support the missions. If you've never been, please consider coming. We'll be going back. That school was a powerful place for me to speak personally. So thank you for place your financial donations and your promotions.
Okay, stand when I pray and be dismissed. Fellowship offering at the door. Bill, would you have a prayer, please?